Moto America fans, it's time for another episode of Off Track with Carruthers and Bice. You'll laugh, you'll cry, and you may even learn something from this unlikely pair and their special guest. The mic is yours, Paul and Sean.
Hey everybody, Moto America fans, this is Paul Carruthers and this is Off Track. This is Moto America's weekly podcast, which I do along with Sean Bice, who's joining with me today. We just got back a few days ago from Road America, which was, I don't know about you, Sean, but I've been going to Road America for a long time, and it's been a long time since I've seen that many people there for a motorcycle race. So all in all, it was a wonderful weekend, and it kind of made me feel good. You know, I think maybe we've got to that point where we're going to start to see some big things happen for Moto America. And it's, you know, our seventh year, and it's probably about time for things to start happening. It's been hard for us to be patient, but I think finally we're starting to see, you know, the goods.
Yeah. I mean, there were a ton of people there. It was so cool. And we've said this before, Paul, but you know, our barometer sometimes is when we're trying to get around the paddock to get to a rider, or, you know, to get back up in the media center. When you have a terrible time negotiating around the fans walking around, that's when you know it's a good time. So, it seemed like everybody was really having a great time. And there was a lot of stuff going on all over that track. And it's amazing how big that track is, but there are whole sections in various parts of that track where they're like little villages, you know. It's incredible to see all those fans.
Yeah. And I'm not much of a camper, at least not at this point in my life.
Yeah,
I remember as a teenager, we'd go surf camp, you know, like one of the parents would drop off, you know, 4 15-year-olds at, you know, Encinitas, and we'd camp for the weekend, and then they'd pick us up on Sunday night. Why they allowed that to happen, I have no idea, because I'm not sure we did all good things while we were doing it. But when you drive around Road America, you're like, man, this would be a pretty cool place to just camp and spend 2 or 3 days and watch motorcycle racing, because it's such a beautiful place to it's one of those places you could camp there even if there weren't races going on, and it'd be a nice campground, you know?
Yeah, and you know, the PA guy even mentioned at one point, I always forget about that they have these other things, like they actually have disc golf in a couple areas too, so you can literally go there, and well, there's so much else going on, but I think they allow people to come in there when there aren't races and, you know, do that disc golf and stuff, so they definitely make good use out of that facility. And it's such a beautiful place. I mean, especially this time of year with everything being so green. And I always marvel at the Californians like you, Paul. Things are starting to get brown out your way. But I remember Cameron Beaubier used to always talk about how he was amazed at how green it is when he comes east. So there's so much land around there with the trees and the finely manicured lawns and everything that it really is a beautiful place to be. And next week we'll be heading up to Ridge for Pacific Northwest, which is equally beautiful and in a whole different way. So that'll be good.
Yeah, that'll be cool. I was going to ask you, have you ever had a day where like something really amazing happened, like, you know, in the early part of the day and you were having like the greatest day of your life, and then next thing you know, something really bad happened and it kind of, you know,
yeah,
it doesn't take away from the thing that happened that was really good, but you're like, oh man, why couldn't the whole day have just been good?
Yeah. Do you have a specific anecdote?
Well, I'm just saying, I mean, our guest.
Oh, okay.
Our guest woke up and it was Christmas morning and he had like the greatest gift in the world. And then later that afternoon, it got taken away. Well, it didn't get taken away, but like well, let's just talk about it. And the person we have on here today, our guest is Kyle Wyman, who was absolutely and rightfully so thrilled to get that Harley Davidson King of the Baggers ride. I mean, this is a kid that grew up knowing mostly dirt track, following dirt track. His heroes were dirt trackers. And if you remember back in the day, the best dirt trackers were factory Harley Davidson riders.
That's
they had
right.
The coolest stuff. They won the most races. They had the best bike. It was, if you were an aspiring young dirt tracker, all you wanted to do was be a Harley Davidson factory rider. Kyle Wyman didn't get that opportunity, but he certainly has it now. He is a Harley Davidson factory rider. in the King of the Baggers class, and he went out and won Harley's first race in the class. On Sunday afternoon, he crashes his Panera Bread Ducati and badly breaks his elbow. So that's my point, is like, this guy went from the highest of highs to the lowest of lows, but he's also one of those guys that's perfectly capable of handling it and turning bad things into good things. So let's welcome Kyle. And I know, Kyle, this show will come out on Saturday. By the time it comes out, you will be out of surgery because you're having surgery on Thursday. And you'll be on your way to trying to figure out how to rehab as quickly as you can and get back on track, especially so to race that Harley Davidson again in the final round at Laguna Seca, because you're now leading the championship. So talk to us about that day, the highs, the lows, and how you deal with something like that.
Yeah, well, no, for sure. It's been a high and low, definitely. That was definitely the theme of Sunday. I'm still beat up. It's Wednesday as we record this, and I'm still broken. I still have to get surgery tomorrow morning, so I'm in San Jose waiting for all that. It's been a long week. You know, it's really tough to sit here and like know that I'm not healing yet, because I haven't had surgery yet, and I'm just like, this time, all these minutes that go by are just not progressing me forward, you know. But it is what it is. I mean, Sunday was great, having that opportunity to win the Harley race, get it done for those guys when the pressure was on and we had to do it, is an amazing feeling to get that done. The whole team was there. Bill Davidson was there. The who's who of the motor company was on site. I think there was over 200 tickets, you know, that the motor company requested for the weekend. So, pretty amazing feeling to get that done in front of all those guys. And then, yeah, was fighting in that kind of fourth place battle in Superbike, and the most innocent crash ever, you know, just a slow low side in the slowest corner on track. And the way I landed, I caught the front edge of one of the curbings, which was about a 3-inch concrete lip, when I came down and snapped my elbow. So, yeah, I wanted to go to dinner with the Harley guys and celebrate that evening once I was done with Superbike, and they had to celebrate without me.
So did you, Kyle, did you actually have to get in touch with them and say, I got hurt, or did they see it? Were they aware?
Oh, those guys, they follow all the stuff I do on the Superbike as well. I'm sure they were all watching, you know, wondering what happened. And especially Jason Kale and Bjorn Christensen, the two guys really kind of spearheading that effort. You know, they knew exactly what was going on. And yeah, we've been, you know, trying to plan on what this means for the next few weeks, but yeah, it's, you know, it's definitely, it's a lot on those weekends for me to pull double duty. It feels like triple duty, 'cause I run the team as well on the Superbike side, you know. But yeah, it's not the best ending to a really good weekend.
Was it, you know, was it as, this is a strange question, I admit it, but okay, you got physically injured, obviously in a lot of pain. It probably hurt like hell and probably still does. Did that take everything away from you in terms of how you felt after winning that King of the Baggers race? Or is it still a feeling of joy for you? I mean, it has to be, right?
Yeah, it still is a feeling of joy, but for sure, like, you know, the focus now can't even be on that at all. You know, it's a pretty common theme for me. I don't know if it's like this for a lot of guys in our sport, but I don't usually get a whole lot of time to enjoy the successes, just because what comes next is knocking the door down pretty hard to take your attention away, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. But no, I feel great that we've got the points lead. We've got a little bit of a cushion, and I feel less pressure now to finish the job than I did to kind of take control of the championship going into this weekend. So yeah, it's hard to say, but I'm definitely, I'm elated to have gotten that done and watched the race back, and no, it's good, but we're for sure squarely focused on what I need to do in the short term to, you know, salvage a season and a career and everything else it means. You know, these are really important moments that can decide a lot of things.
I think you said it in the press conference, but the guys working in that Harley Davidson team, I think there's probably, you can tell me, but I think with you and Travis now on the team, I think there's probably a couple of guys on there that have some racing experience, but it looks like there's a lot of guys that don't. And it struck me as being a little odd because when I was watching, you'd already gone out for, I think it was the final qualifying. And Travis, I think, came from stock 1000. So he's running a little bit behind. So when they were waiting for him to get there, it was like whoever the guy was in charge, he's like, okay, when Travis puts his left glove on, you take the rear wheel tire warmer off. When he puts his left ear plug in, that's when we roll it off. I mean, they were so, and I was thinking to myself, you know what? There's no replacement for experience, but I also think guys that are new to something and that they're paying so much attention that it doesn't look like they would ever screw up. You know, does it make any sense what I'm trying to say? And that's what it seems like you have there is a group of guys that are just really meticulous about not messing up because they don't have that experience and it turns out okay.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of like, I'm probably going to butcher this if there's a statistician listening to this or something, but it's like an inverted bell curve of like, you know, that lack of experience, but that level of focus, you know, those guys do a really great job because they're so focused. They've never been in this position before, but they're so focused on doing it properly that they pay attention to those details. And there's kind of a middle ground of mechanic or individual on a race team that's, you know, has the experience and can kind of get complacent. Right. And then you go back, you swing it all the way to the other end of the spectrum. And you got a guy like my chief mechanic on the Ducati, Dave Hopkinson, where like he is paying attention to even more detail than that, you know, and it's pretty cool to see those guys just wanting to learn more than anything, just wanting to learn and absorb and like just get better at what they're doing. Because Harley Davidson has not had a race program in house since the VR1000.
Right.
You know, whether drag racing, flat track, whatever else Harley was doing in between was all really an outsourced program. So we've built this infrastructure from scratch starting in January. And it's pretty cool. We almost have a race department in Harley Davidson again.
Wow.
we're getting there, you know?
The fact that you're hurt. Obviously the goal now is to get healthy and be at Laguna Seca to finish out that King of the Baggers championship. It seems like they've made giant strides with the bike since the first round, from the first round to the second round. My point is, if there's probably not going to be a lot of work done at testing, et cetera, between now and Laguna Seca, but the bike is obviously a lot better. Is it good enough if it just stays the same?
Yeah, it is. There's for sure still some things that we're working on to improve, you know, in the gear shift mechanism and just more like functional things, you know, nice to haves, kind of things that you take for granted on a proper road race bike, you know, like just, you know, shifting up and down on a Ducati superbike is just so automatic. Like you don't even have to put thought into it. But, you know, for us, like on the bagger, it's still like, okay, I got to make sure I get the clutch in right to that friction point. I got to make sure I get a really good solid, you know, shift with my foot and blip it at the right time, you know. And those are the things that can cost you. It cost me on Friday at Road America. I missed a downshift into turn three and I crashed the bagger for the first time ever into the gravel. So, you know, little things like that can bite you is really the stuff we're working on now. We're more refinement, you know, we're not making huge changes, which is pretty amazing considering where we've started just a couple months ago. But I do think that the bike as it sits, you know, we can win Laguna Seca if I'm healthy.
Kyle, one of the things I really liked when you did the reveal on Thursday night at the Harley Davidson Museum, and there were those awesome static shots of the bikes, it gave us a real good chance to take a look at look over the bikes pretty well. And you know, and compare them what else is out there, especially that first round last year, the Invitational at Laguna Seca. And there were a lot of different iterations or interpretations of what you can do to make a bagger go fast and how it looks. And, you know, one of the things I was amazed about with Travis's bike last year is, man, he was almost like he was doing a push-up on that bike. It just didn't look like it was very comfortable. But those bikes were very... I mean, the seat looks awesome on them. The pipe is up really high and tucked in. It looks like a pretty proper race bike for what a bagger is. How much influence did you have in the way, you know, the ergonomics and the design of, you know, everything on that bike, both bikes?
Man, there's a lot of things on the bike that there was truly no direction until they had input from me. And then there's also a lot of things that the engineers just got right from the get-go. To be honest, like the peg position is original from the first day I sat on the bike in February, never moved, you know, and that's pretty cool. If you look at the bike really closely, that there's some really trick CNC covers. So the transmission cover and the primary cover are a full billet CNC piece that has the peg mount built into it. So there's no bracketry, there's nothing added. It's literally just built into the one piece primary, and some stuff like that is pretty incredible. Yeah, you get some vibration through your feet, but you know, to put those pegs where you kind of need them for road racing, there's not a whole lot of options to do it, and they've gotten really inventive with that kind of stuff. And then, you know, like seats and geometry of the bike and, you know, brakes of. There's a few parts on the bagger that, you know, we've influenced from my Ducati program. So we run the Akasato brake calipers on the superbike, and I convinced Harley to put them on both of the baggers for me and my brother. Mm. And that's partially to make it easier for me to go back and forth between the bikes, because I was having a really hard time, like just squeezing the levers differently between the two bikes when I go back and forth throughout the weekend. Let's try to get as close of a braking system on the bagger as I have on the superbike to make that transition easier. There's so many things that we've done to try to just, you know, it's just lowest hanging fruit at start, you know, at the start, and then you kind of go up the tree and, you know, see what's next.
So this question I have is kind of a two-parter here, but one thing I really want to try to understand is when you're racing in King of the Baggers, are you racing as hard as you possibly can? Were you trying as hard as you possibly could to beat Tyler O'Hara? And can you compare it to what it's like when you're on the superbike? And obviously it's fewer laps, but how is it a weird transition to go from one to the other when you got to remember, oh, I got a lot more laps that I have to go on the superbike. The bike's a lot faster. Your braking markers are probably completely different. Your turning points and all that. So can you explain kind of what goes into that and that compare and contrast, but start off by saying, how hard do you race on that bagger?
I mean, that 27.4 on the third lap of the race at Road America was pretty much everything on the bagger. I mean, I'm got the thing sideways, you know, backed into every corner entry and you know, paint to paint using every inch of the racetrack. Like that's pretty much all I had for that configuration we had on that day, you know. You got some time to think about it between a few corners on Road America, but 27s on a Harley Davidson Road Glide, I think we chipped into, you know, a handful of guys both in the Super Sport and Stock 1000 class.
That's right.
As far as going faster. And I don't think anybody would expect that, you know, from concept. And kind of the second part of your question, I can't actually remember what it was. I was just thinking how good.
Yeah,
that
it's about the contrast, getting off one and getting on the other, your braking markers, turning point, yeah. Everything's different. Yeah.
No, I mean, going into the weekend, I really, really struggled with that at Road Atlanta. I just didn't think it was going to be that hard because they're so different. It was like, well, I'm not going to like mistake that I'm on one and not the other. and, you know, go to the wrong brake marker. But the turn-in points, like going down the S's at Road Atlanta, and like the rate of turn-in is so different that I really struggled not really getting on the bagger, but I really struggled going back to the superbike. So I really made a point to think about that a lot going into the Road America weekend. Like, hey, make sure you mark that marker, you know, that brake marker, that kind of reference as a bagger reference in your mind. And, you know, make sure you mark this one as like turn one. On the bagger, I was braking at like the service road, which is like in between the 2 and 3 board. And I think on the superbike, I was braking at the first brake marker. So I was like, let me pick something physical, you know, that's not a brake marker for the bagger. Let me pick a brake marker for the superbike so that I'm not just looking for, okay, was it the 4 or the 3 that I, you know what I mean? And having it, you know, easy to confuse. So that was what I tried to do, is just make more specific references for each bike and then try to compartmentalize that, which is something I already do for so many things, you know, but it seemed to work out a lot better for me at Road America.
Let's move to the superbike real quick. Taking away the accident you had on Sunday and the injury that you've incurred from doing that, how would you rate your superbike season so far? Are you happy with it? Is the progress slower than you would hope for? Is it frustrating? Tell us a little bit about that. And obviously, you know, the crash has something to do with it, but let's talk about like how you felt prior to that with how things were going.
I'm not happy for sure. I think you want to just keep making steady incremental progress all the time. And you know, last year, you know, our results really got away from us mid-season when we had a whole bunch of mechanicals and big crashes that really set us back. This year I wanted to come in swinging a little bit more, and we really invested in the bike to make it better and change things to be closer to a world superbike spec motorcycle. But we did not get to do any testing before the season. And the bike is more different than I probably anticipated, as far as like what the components I've changed have done to settings we've used in the past. Like we pretty much had, you know, last year's settings in the bike this year from Road America, where last year we were on the podium twice, and the data that's coming out is completely different. We're not getting the bike in the same area, even though it's set up so similar. And it comes down to, you know, different components. And without testing, it's really hard to narrow down what has changed and why, so that you can make educated progress. Like Saturday's race at Road America, like when I look at my total race time, I was 14 seconds slower than last year. And as a rider, that is like insanely frustrating, because you just think year after year you're going to get better, you're going to move forward. And you know, I go into the weekend fully healthy, fully confident, feeling great on the bike because we did a 2-day test at Pittsburgh. And you know, sometimes it almost feels like, you know, I'm putting a quarter in a slot machine and seeing what comes out of it. And you know, the bike just doesn't work, and it's hard to quantify when you haven't been able to just go do a ton of testing. So yeah, I'm frustrated. I'm not happy with the results, because I know that I'm capable of so much more. And you know, I just keep working on the count of the idea that, you know, I'm going to get a chance to show it one day.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about, so my background has always been in advertising, Kyle, ad agencies and stuff. So I've always been very conscious of branding and loved it and like logos and things like that. And my gosh, when you got that Panera Bread sponsorship, it's like, you know, I love all the brands that are involved in all the bikes and teams in the paddock, but man, that's one that I can talk to my mom and dad back home and go, hey, you know, the Panera you go to down in Watertown, New York all the time. Well, Kyle Wyman is sponsored by that brand. And it's just cool because it makes for conversations that we can have with regular people that don't necessarily know our series. Can you talk about Panera Bread and not necessarily how you got it, but what it meant? And, you know, what did you, I'm sure you reported back to them. I mean, the TV we have is really good and the bike, the livery is fantastic. And I'm sure the fans, you know, we get a lot of comments on our social media about it. I'm sure the fans come up to you all the time and talk about how cool it is. So can you talk about, you know, that whole program that you set up? And, you know, it's just a real cool thing for our paddock.
Yeah, it's so awesome. And, you know, of course I'm partial, but I think the bike looks phenomenal, like, especially in certain lighting.
Yeah.
It's so unorthodox, you know, and when the idea came that I was going to have the opportunity to run that brand, I was like, how am I going to execute this? And I had to sit on it for like 2 weeks and because I designed the bike and everything. Right. And I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to make that look good. And then at some point, like, I kind of just said, what if it was kind of like a kind of a military nod, but not military because it's not a military company. You know, how can I make it something? And I just threw it together and boom, that was it. Like, we just went with it. So it's been really, really fun to put it together and work with the franchisee who is the actual sponsor. And they're a Southeast-based company. So we're not necessarily in their region anymore as we move across the country, but, you know, we're doing a pretty good job for them and corporate. And it means a lot to have a household brand like that. I mean, two things I thought would never happen is that I'd be title sponsored by Panera Bread and that I'd race a Road Glide. Like, pretty crazy year, you know, all told with those two things, but. Yeah, it's been fun. And I mean, the cool thing is, like, I love Panera Bread and I go there all the time. And I, you know, I eat their turkey avocado BLT sandwich because it's like, they always have really good avocado, like, no matter where you are in the country. And I'm like, man, that's pretty consistent. Like, I can go there and know what I'm going to get every time. So, yeah, it's not even a paid advertisement. It's like, it's pretty cool to also be with a brand that I'm a customer, you know, I'm in their rewards program. I don't have a card. I go in there and I get free sandwiches. No, I just collect my points like everybody else.
That's cool.
That's the thing that's so cool about that brand is I think everybody, I don't know. I've never met anybody that doesn't like Panera Bread. And it's just, you wouldn't, to your point, you wouldn't think of it as being aligned with motorcycle road racing or even possibly motorcycling. But it's one of those brands that's so well known that it's like so cool. It sort of elevates our paddock in a way that, you know, like I said, people that don't really even know what we're all about. I mean, it's just a nice kind of almost like a conversation starter. And I'm sure you've had that happen when you're on the road with the truck and the people probably think you're bringing supplies or something. In fact, it's a race team. So
it's funny, like every once in a while I do the embarrassing thing where I walk into the Panera Bread and I'm like, hey, you guys should check this out. This is cool. Like, here's what I'm doing. And they're just like, what? Like, this is insane. Like, this makes no sense at all. I'm like, yeah, but it's great. Right. They're like, yeah, like we want to watch this, you know? And, you know, on social media and all the people eating at Panera and tagging me in it. And, you know, I'm not necessarily keeping track, but man, there's a lot of people that have been like, you know, I just never have gone to Panera, not because like it didn't appeal to me or it didn't, you know, whatever, but it was, you know, I don't know. It's right next to Chipotle and I always go to Chipotle. I just have never gone there. And, you know, because I saw your bike and saw that program, I went in there and it was freaking awesome. So now I'm going to go there. And I mean, it's just cool to see those kind of stories come back around and, we'll see what happens for the future of KWR and Panera Bread. But so far it's been one of those kind of, I think that whether it continues or not, it's going to go down as one of those kind of, you know, legendary brands that was in superbike racing because it just was so unique and so fun and different.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, so I want to talk a little bit more about your injury. One of the things that's, well, okay, I got another two-part thing here a little bit.
Him and his two-parters.
Kyle. I know. Well, I got to jam a bunch
of stuff. I can't remember the first part when you get to the second.
Well, this will be sort of related. So Kyle Wyman, when you were in the press conference and I was, you know, recording you on Facebook Live and you were sitting there getting ready to go, you reminded me of something because you did a couple adjustments on your neck. And I was like, oh, that's right, his neck. So what I want to do is get an update on how that whole thing's going and with your spinal issue that you had in the past and how I think it's obviously better than it was then. And then can you kind of give us some details about specifically what happened to your elbow and what needs to happen to kind of get it back to 100% again?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely picked up on it. I don't think me self-adjusting my neck constantly is ever going to go away. I think especially throughout a race weekend, as my chest gets tight, shoulders get tight, everything starts kind of shrinking in that area. What you're referencing is I had an artificial disc replacement at the end of 2019, and that was a massive success. I mean, I don't have the pain numbness referral down my arm that I had during that season where I was questioning everything. Got out of that one pretty well, and it's been a success. But with breaking my neck and having surgeries and upper back issues and things like that, that's not going to go away. It's just one of those things that I'm gonna have to keep working on, keep doing the yoga, keep doing the PT and stretching. But yeah, now I find myself back at not square one, but it kind of feels that way where it's like, okay, how am I going to tackle this one? And I've broken the ulna right at the elbow, which, again, I'm not a doctor. So ulcranon, ulna bone, which is like the nub end of the forearm ulna bone, is in at least three large pieces and potentially a few more smaller ones. So, I'm going to have to get a plate, a bunch of screws. Fortunately, it's kind of like they kind of have actually compared it to like a collarbone where like you bolt it together and you're pretty good. But the inflammation that's going to result because it's so close to a joint is going to be an issue. So I've got some time ahead of hard work and some pain to get through, but pretty standard. This is going to be my 20th surgery Wow. that I've had in my racing career. So I knew I would get there once I got into the teens, you know, but it's pretty crazy just to, I don't know. I'm just I'm getting ready to go in tomorrow again. And I've got my great doctor, Dr. Harwood, up here in Morgan Hill, California, who's taken care of me many, many times, as you'd imagine at this point. And, we're going to be just fine.
Wow. Sean, how many surgeries have you had?
You know, I've never had a single surgery. I broke a ankle once playing hockey, but it was no surgery, but none, never been cut on. How about you?
Same. I broke a foot, but no surgery, but I can't even imagine. Well, does a vasectomy count? I guess not.
Yes.
It does? Oh, then I had surgery. I guess if they put knife to anything, maybe that should count as four since where they're putting the knife, you know?
You know, hey, I want to mention too, since Kyle mentioned his number of surgeries, it immediately reminded me. And I know, Kyle, being that you're a Packers fan and a football fan, and I'm sure Paul remembers, you remember how Mark Schlereth used to talk about how many knee surgeries he had? I think you're getting up there in his realm in terms of how many times you've been cut on. Kyle, so you're as tough as an NFL player. There's no doubt about it.
Well, just because I've had that many doesn't mean I'm tough. I mean, maybe it means I'm fragile.
Fragile, yeah. A little bit stupid, maybe, but you know.
Guess I'm pretty persistent because I keep coming back for more.
That's for sure. So. Hey, let's talk about moving forward. You're obviously not racing at the Ridge. Obviously, your main emphasis at this point has to be getting healthy enough to race a bagger at Laguna Seca. what are the chances of somebody else riding your superbike Ducati at some point in the 2021 season?
I would say the chances are pretty high.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I mean, as far as the Ridge goes, I think by the time you guys post this, I'll have announced that we're not going at all. So I've really been working on this with my team and trying to figure out what's the best thing, because we really do want to get a quality rider on the bike and get a fresh set of eyes on it because of kind of the situation I've been talking about, you know, earlier with my frustrations with the bike. And I think that could be really beneficial. And, you know, as crappy as the situation is, there is an opportunity for that. But part of us, you know, with the Ridge is, you know, I run the team. I'm also a pretty big part of the operational side as well as riding. So, you know, we're short me basically next week, trying to do something for the Ridge and get a rider in there. And it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense from a lot of different perspectives. So my dad was driving the rig to Washington, and I think he got about halfway through Montana, and I called him up and said, turn left, bring the rig to Tucson.
Poor and, Bob.
Yeah, I know.
Poor Bob.
I know. So, yeah, we're gonna regroup and come back for Laguna, but Laguna's in 3 weeks, and bones take 6 weeks to heal. So I've got quite a challenge if I want to race the superbike. Like you said, at this point, really the priority is to finish out the Baggers Championship. So after how it went down at Road America, we've got a points lead of 11 points over Tyler O'Hara. So it's the last round. I need to finish sixth or better. And, you know, I'd love to see more depth in the class, but I think that I should be able to finish sixth, especially considering that, you know, my brother – Travis is my teammate on the Harley. And if it comes down to me being in seventh and he's ahead of me, he's going to give way to give Harley that championship as well. So, yeah, I mean, you know, my goal is to be healthy enough to wrap up that championship. The next level of that goal would be to be healthy enough to win that race, because I know that we can, because I'd really like to put that stamp on the end of this and show why Harley is who they are. And if I can race the superbike as well, I'm going to, but if it doesn't look like that's going to be the smartest move for me to come back and try to do that, then we're definitely going to put somebody on the bike at Laguna.
Wow. Kyle, so again, when you were on the podium with the win in King of the Baggers, and you know, it was obvious that, you know, Travis was sitting beside you and Hayden Gillum was. So it was a sweep for Harley Davidson, obviously a huge deal for the motor company. And it's been interesting because, you know, that those two Indians are obviously very strong and have done really well. So to sweep the podium against those guys was a huge accomplishment. But I want to ask you about Travis. So he's the other factory rider. Obviously, he became a factory rider because you paved the way. And you guys are both there, and the heritage of Harv's Harley Davidson and what Harley Davidson means to your entire family with your mom owning it and everything. But what did he in the race did, I mean, Travis obviously wants to win it as much as you, but did you guys work together? Did he help you, to get that win, I guess?
I mean, I will say yes for, you know, I guess specifically like during the race on the racetrack, no, but Harley's goal was to, and my goal was to put as much pressure on Indian as humanly possible, because that's what it's going to take to force a mistake, to force an issue, to take control of this championship. So, you know, whether it's waiting till the day before the race to announce a second rider or throwing down as hard as humanly possible to get pole position. I believe all of those things contributed to us ultimately getting the win on Sunday, because it's not just about what happens between the green and checkered flag. So I think it was important for us to kind of you know, bring that full force and with a two rider effort. And 100% what Travis did when we went testing and having two bikes and developing parts that much sooner contributed to me having a better bike for Road America. So absolutely, he helped me.
Sorry, that was my dog sneezing there. Here's another question I want to ask you. So you, for years, I mean, you guys have had various iterations of the Wyman brothers or the Wyman. I remember it was Wyman Brothers Racing at one time, but you know, Cody won at VIR, was a huge deal. You know, Travis won at VIR too, didn't he? As I recall, I think he did.
Atlanta.
Oh, Atlanta. Okay, that's right. And Cody, so you guys all podiumed at Road America. I mean, you and Travis podiumed in King of the Baggers and Cody podiumed in Junior Cup. What does that mean for you guys, especially now that you're all adults, you're in different parts of the country now? I mean, I know that you stay in touch, but you're not obviously living under the same roof anymore like you used to be. So, you know, what does it mean for you guys to all come together and kind of from different classes, different directions on, in the paddock, it all, you know, Wyman's succeed. Tell us about that, what you feel about it.
It's really meaningful. I mean, it's been our dream to be racing together. And there's been times when, you know, a few, you know, setbacks have either pulled us apart or put us together. And we've always been able to somehow all continue racing. There were times when all three of us were on the same team. When we, you know, I had all of us on KWR at one point. We've branched off and done different things, but it's pretty special for us to be able to, no matter what's happened. I mean, even, you know, my parents are divorced, like no matter what, we all still come to the races together and get to kind of get the band back together. And it feels like we're all closer than we've all been in a really long time, just because of how much we're getting to do together. You know, Cody's now teaching with me at the Yamaha school. Travis right. is now my teammate on the Harley Davidson factory team. And it's really like, it's all like, it's four different teams that the three of us are all spread throughout. But it's really amazing for us to all just continue to be able to get together and race motorcycles like we've done since day one.
Yeah, it's definitely a good story. You can see it. And I see your mom and how happy she is at the podiums and multiple times going to the podiums. I mean, she probably can't even stand how giddy she gets, but.
Well, the Harley thing for her is like, it's like, I can't even tell you what it means to her, you know, her growing up in a Harley dealership herself, because her right. father's the one that started at Harv, and like Harv bringing her around to all the different dirt track nationals in the 70s. And like, you know, could she have imagined that her two, at least now, of her three boys are factory Harley Davidson riders and going 1 and 2 in their backyard at Road America, getting congratulated by Bill Davidson himself in the podium? I mean,
yeah, it's crazy.
Wake me up. You know what I mean? It's like, it's for her, I can only imagine. And I wish that my grandfather Harv was here to see this stuff, because he would have been over the moon.
Yeah, that would have been nuts if he could see that. But that's, I'm sure he can. So look, I don't want to take any more of your time, and I thank you for coming on the day before you're about to go under the knife and get another surgery and get that elbow fixed up. But we both wish you the best of luck, and obviously we'll get back in touch with you and see how you're doing. But you know, good luck with the surgery and good luck with the rest of the season. And yeah, we'll see you, if not before, we'll definitely see you at Laguna Seca.
Well, I think I'll still be up at the ridge, even if I'm hanging out in a sling, because
oh good.
Yeah. You know, oh good. That's good.
My wife has to go for some reason, as you guys know, and my right. family has to go, and I can't just sit at home by myself. I don't care how beat up I am. So I'm thinking I'm probably still going to make it up there and see you guys up there.
All right. That's awesome. You got anything, Sean? Are you good?
Yeah, no, I just want to mention, I mean, we had David Hawley on a couple episodes ago, and he did a great job talking about the volunteer effort that we have for our corner marshals. And I just really want to keep pushing that. When I spoke to David at Road America, I asked him about, you know, heading towards Ridge and obviously Pacific Northwest, completely different part of the country and a whole different set of volunteers. So if you're from that part of the country, or even if you're not, and you'd like to volunteer as a corner marshal, you know, you get the best seat in the house, you get admission to the race weekend for however many days, including all three, if you want to do that. You get lunch, you get very up close and personal with the riders, and the riders really appreciate it very much. So I just want to throw that in there again as we get closer to the Ridge. You know, get in touch with David Hawley at dhawley, it's H-A-W-L-E-Y @motoamerica.com. Email him and tell him you'd love to volunteer, and he'll find a place for you. And he's an excellent instructor in terms of telling you guys what to do and how to do it. So you'll have a great time with that experience, and we would love to have you. So I just wanted to add that. But thanks so much, Kyle, for being on with us.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. And we'll be back again.
All right. Take care, and we'll talk to you in a couple of days.